You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
You're here. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing, not just this day, not just this week, but what he's doing in this house, what he's doing in our youth, what he's doing in our every, as Terry said, every generation of this house. I want to open this morning by again saying thank you to everyone who has worked so diligently. And the last months, really, you know, there's preparation goes on for a year ahead of camp. This is 32 years of doing youth camp here at Word of Deliverance. We've come a long, long way. We were sharing some stories, and sometimes we've got to pull this together. While I was going through the camp closet the other day, I found the projector and some old slides. And I'm sure probably there is some crazy looking stuff on them slides from way back in the day when we stayed in tents and had outhouses and swam in the pond and ate on picnic benches outside and carried the food here in the back of our cars. Amen. But this house has been faithful to that calling. This house has been faithful to that. Brother Lynn, Pastor Jack, Jim, Eric Burris, and some of those were the ones who first had the vision for the camp. And they decided to have a get-together with our kids and some kids from North Carolina, basically, is kind of how it came about. And they came to just kind of have a camp out and then have church while we were here. And from that has developed into 32 years later. Here we still are. And we're still camping out. But it's a whole lot better now than it used to be. And so, you know, there are some that have been with us pretty much from the beginning. You know, I was thinking... You know, those who have been here from the beginning and have worked and endeavored and have earned the right now to just sit back and rest a little bit. There's a couple of them in here. Pastor Shirley and Wilden, some of those who have worked and was dorm buddies with us in the dorms and have spent many hours on their knees with tissues and crying beside people who God has literally changed their world, changed their life. And that's what it's all about, amen, amen, changing lives. And I wish that you could hear the comments and the feedback that we get, and I know you don't always get to hear that, but Cedartown, Georgia, was gracious enough this year to send us a copy of their youth service after their kids went back from youth camp and talked about how much that they live for this 1 week and that God has literally saved their lives, that God, the transformation that has taken place in them. And I tell you the stories all the time. We have kids say, I have parents come to me and say, we offered our kids a cruise the week of church camp. And when they found out that it was the week of the church camp, they said, nope, we're going to camp. We've had kids turn out opportunities to play on all-star teams in football and go to special camps and government, governor's academies and some of those kind of things because they were not going to miss youth camp. That speaks volumes to me. And that is to your credit here today and in this house for supporting it with your finances, supporting it with your giving, supporting it with your labors and your works. And so very first from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you to this house. You are an incredible group of people. And I mean that. Only crazy people do this. Only crazy people do this. People who are crazy about Jesus and crazy about kids. And so if we seem crazy to you, we are. And so I want to start by thanking you and telling you how much that I appreciate all that you do and all that you give. I know we have tissues because it's camp time. Fresh boxes sitting everywhere. Good old camp cry. If you haven't cried in church for a while, try it. It'll do you good. It'll do you good. And you can't hardly come to camp without crying, so beware. Amen? But I do mean that, and I do honor you that. And if I don't have a chance to tell you that personally, know that I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I also want to say today, Happy Father's Day. Thank you, men of God, for being in this house. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for being the priest of your house. Thank you for honoring God, yourself, and honoring God with your family. There is a need and a calling for men to stand up and be men. To be a man to their wives, to be a man to their children, to be a man to their house, to their community, and to their job. It's not just something we do. It is a calling. And I believe God is his purpose to raise up anointed men of God in the house, in the business place, in our communities, and in our homes. I've told you before, you know, many of us in this house work in the school system. You see a whole lot of things. And people want to know what's wrong with the school system, whatever, what's wrong with this or that. Most problems that we deal with come from the breakdown of the family unit. I don't say that in any condemning way. I don't say that to point fingers. I don't say that. I say that to you when I say we need men to stand up and be men. We need fathers to be fathers. We need, you know, whatever your situation is, your kids need you. You need your dads. You may not understand at this point how valuable they are to you. You may not have always had the best dad. I don't know what your situation is, but I know we do have a Heavenly Father who loves us beyond anything that we could ever know or understand or ever comprehend, that there is a Heavenly Father that will fill every void in your life, that will lead and guide you, that will be there for you, that will be your comforter, your instructor, your leader, your guide. And so, there is no substitute for that presence in your life, whether it's in the natural, the physical, or rather in the spiritual. So I'm thankful this morning for my Heavenly Father, that I could spend time with him today, amen, on Father's Day, and that I could honor my Father and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of those you have placed in my life. Thank you for the family of God that you have connected me to. Thank you, God, for impartation into my life. Hallelujah. You know, in the movie of The Lion King, in the absence of Mufasa, Simba forgot who he was. Mufasa is the father lion in the movie. And so if you don't know the movie, I recommend that everybody get the movie Lion King. It's one of my favorite. I don't recommend all of Disney's movie, but I do like Lion King. And to me, it's very prophetic. It has a lot of lines in there. But what happens is Mufasa gives his life to save Simba. Aren't you glad that you have a father that cared enough about you to throw himself in front of a herd of wildebeest or whatever it took to go to the cross of Calvary that you might have life? He died that you might have life, and not just have life, but that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And Mufasa gave some instruction to his son Simba, but he forgot some of the instruction. You know, the scripture says you have 10,000 instructors, but we have not many fathers. There's a difference in an instructor and a father. Hallelujah. There's a difference between an instructor and a father. How many know Paul was a father to Timothy? Not in the natural, but in the spirit of a father, a spirit of impartation to him. I mean, no, for every Elisha, there must have first to be an Elijah that carries a mantle, that has something to pass on to somebody else. I'm thankful today for my father in the natural, who was a man of God. He was a man of integrity. He was a man who cared about family. And actually, the reason probably that he got saved when he did was because of his family. And because, you know, in his way, this life growing up, he grew up very hard, grew up in an abusive home, grew up in a home of alcoholism and a very dysfunctional home. And so as much as you want to get away from that, when that's your heritage, sometimes it seems like you end up following those paths. And, you know, you can say all you want to, oh, I'll never do that when I'm grown. And sometimes you find yourself going down that path. Well, I'm here to tell you today, there is an end to that path. You don't have to follow those generational curses. You don't have to walk in those paths. You do not have to live like that. There are samples and examples all over this house of people that said, I'll draw the line in the sand right here. That's where this stops in my generation, because I am not going that way. I'm not taking that path. I'm not walking that way. I want something better for my house than what I had, and so I will stand right here right now and make the decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not walking that path. I'm not going that direction. His mom sang him a little song one night after my mom had got saved. She gave her heart to the Lord first. My brothers and some of them got saved, and you guys have heard our testimony before, but what really brought him to the Lord was my grandmother sang him a little song one night. And the song was about the kids going on and mom and kids going on into heaven. But dad had never accepted Jesus as his savior. And she sang him the song that said, Daddy, you can't go with us. You can't be our daddy anymore. We're going on to be with Jesus. And he said, when I laid in the bed, he said, of all the things that I loved my wife and my kids. Didn't always know how to show them or didn't always know how to demonstrate it, because he never had to demonstrate it to him. But he said in his bed, God, if you'll save me, then I'll serve you. Chris has this shirt on today. It was the seven words that changed our world. If you'll save me, I'll serve you. And he said many times, I don't even know what that means, except that I know I need a savior. I need Jesus. And so he gave his heart to the Lord. He said there was no lightning that crashed and no thunder that rolled. But the presence of God came into his life, into his house, and things changed. I want to tell you this morning, if you want things to change in your life, there is only one power. There is only one way, and only you can make that commitment. Amen. Only you can make that change. And somewhere you have to stand up as men and women of God in your house and say, this is how we roll. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to live. And you have to make that choice to make a change. Amen? Hallelujah. You may not be able to do it by yourself. You may not be able to do it without stumbling and falling sometimes, but that's what the body of Christ is for, and the power of God in your life. I'm here to tell you this morning, the power of God will transform lives. The power of God will transform your life. Never underestimate the power of God to move and to change. Hallelujah. And so there was some key lines in the movie of The Lion King. One of the things he says, everything the light touches is ours. Everything that the light touches is ours. You know, with God, he is the light. And there is nothing in secret or nothing that lives in the shadows. Pastor Justin preached last year about coming out of the corners and not living on the edge of gleaning just the leftovers, but marrying the man who owns the field. Hallelujah. He told him, do you remember who you are? You are my true king. We are kings and priests unto God today. We were born for such a time as this. You have, everyone in this house under the sound of my voice, you have destiny and purpose in your life. If you're still trying to figure it out, that's okay. I'm still trying to decide what I want to be when I grow up. Amen? Until then, I'm just walking in everything God has for me right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Because I just think age is just a number. Hallelujah. And you never come to a point in your life where you're beyond change or beyond purpose or beyond calling in God. Hallelujah. And so you are called and purposed for such a time as this. Hallelujah. He said the past can hurt you, but you can either learn from it. The past can hurt, but from the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. How many have learned a few things from your past? How many know sometimes you got to put one foot in front of the others and try something and find out, you know, sometimes when you find out, you know, what repentance is changing from something to something. When you find out this don't work, you got to make a change. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Don't raise your hand. Any crazy people in here today? You stuck in them, doing over the same thing over and over, and you think something different going to happen out of that. I mean, sometimes you got to repent from some old ways. You got to change your mind about some things. And it's not about just changing or asking for, you got to change to something. You got to redirect yourself to the power of the cross and the power of Christ in you. Hallelujah. I told you the opening line of the song. I won't sing it for you today since I don't know Swahili, but it says, "Here comes a lion, Father. Oh, yes, it's a lion. We're going to conquer." And you see the scene of the lion holding up the new Simba, the next great promised one, the next ruler, the next conqueror, the one who's going to rule the pride land. And so Dad's got great hopes for Simba as he holds him up. But as you know, Scar gets into the picture, the accuser of the brethren, and he causes the accident where Mufasa dies. And Scar blames everything on Simba. He puts guilt on him. He puts shame on him. He tells him that it's all his fault. And you know, a whole lot of time we live in the shame or the sins of what we think of our past, and we allow the accuser of the brother to speak things into our life that ought not be. Yeah. Amen? How many know when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and God come looking for them? Courtney and Jen, if you'll go ahead. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and they had eaten of the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How many know any time you're mixing the knowledge of good and evil, there's always death that comes in that. If you live in that mentality of today I'm good, tomorrow I'm bad, today next day I'm good, the next day I'm bad. If you live in that cycle, how many know that'll kill you? The stress of trying to perform. But when God come looking for them, he said, "Adam, where are you?" And he said, "Well, I was naked and I hid myself." And God's response to that was, "Who told you that you were naked? Who's been accusing you? Who's been putting shame on you? Who's been exposing your nakedness? Who's been making you believe you're anything other than what I called you and purposed you to be from the beginning?" Hallelujah. How many know our identity is not in our actions? It's not in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Our identity is in Christ. Go ahead and put up 1 John 4 and 13. Is that what it is? And is there a particular translation we want with that? We'll try it in that one. "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit." How many know we live in him and he lives in us? The scripture says, "In him I live and move and have my being." How many can agree with me this morning? He lives in me. His dwelling place is within me. He has tabernacled himself among us. We didn't go into Moses' tabernacle today. We didn't go into Herod's temple. We came to assemble ourselves together with the body of Christ, but we are that dwelling place. The scripture says, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are where God abides. You are his dwelling place. He lives in you. If that be the case, your identity does not come from anything external. It comes from who you are in Christ. Amen. One of the greatest problems in the church world today is a problem of identity theft. Identity theft. I'm not a weary pilgrim passing through. I'm not just an old sinner saved by grace. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am kings and priests unto him. I am of the line of the tribe of Judah. I am a conqueror. I am everything that he says I am. I am salt. I am light. I am truth. I am a healer. I can do greater things. He said, "Greater things than these shall you do." He gave me the power. That was what he said I am. And so my identity does not come in man's opinion. It does not come by my bank account. It does not come by the designer jeans that I don't wear. It doesn't come by all of those things. It comes because I know who I am in Christ. How many know I'm still discovering who I am in Christ? One of the greatest problems in our life is we're so concerned about what everybody else thinks and so much less concerned about what God thinks. And if we really knew what God thought about us, he's just head over heels and madly in love with you. He loves you more than you could ever know or ever understand. And when you are empowered by love, let me tell you, love will empower you to do some crazy things. Few of you know what I'm talking about. Love will make you do crazy things. It'll make you give your only son. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. And so I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The scripture said, for he who knew no sin became sin, that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. I am righteous because he has made me righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. And so my identity is in him. One of the famous lines from the movie says, you got to put your behind in your past. You got to put your behind in your past. You got to put your past behind you. How many of the scripture says, forgetting those things which are behind? Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to forget about your past. Today is a brand new day. See, Peter lived in the condemnation of his denial when he denied the Lord 3 times. And the scripture says, and he went away sorrowful. But what was the good news is the next morning, the rooster comes out and crows. And when he does, you got to realize it's a brand new day. Yesterday was yesterday. But at the sound of the rooster this morning, today's a brand new day. What will you do with what God has given you today? Amen. What will you do with what God has given you today? It says, the kings of the past look down on us from these stars. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I. That was the words that Mufasa spoke to Simba. The scripture declares that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. That let us run the race that is set before us. How many know there are those who have gone before us who paid the price for us to be here today? Hallelujah. And if you'll glean from their wisdom and their impartation, see, I believe I don't want my kids to just do what I do. I want them to do greater things. I want God to empower them greater and even beyond what I've ever accomplished in my life. There's a greater destiny, a greater purpose. Their calling is not my calling. I'm not trying to put my calling, my mantle, my purpose on them. I want God to develop in them everything that he has called them to be. Hallelujah. I was so excited this morning when I watched the dance up here and saw the guys get up here and do the dance with them. Don't you love that? The girls and guys, all of them did an awesome job. But when I see them doing something out of their heart and ministering, and then I see the anointing of the Holy Ghost start to get on them, and when I see them start to share the things that God are speaking to them, I realize that they're starting to find their purpose and their destiny in Christ. Amen? You can live your whole life and still not have an identity, not know who you are in Christ. You want to see if they're ready? I got some visitors for you this morning. They're ready. Come on out. I got some friends that showed up for church for me here this morning. Probably all of you know these guys. Probably some of you had a... How many of you had a Mr. Potato Head when you was a kid? Yeah. Oh, I got one on each side. Huh? You had Lisa. Come on over here. We got a Mrs. Potato Head and a Mr. Potato Head. How many know, what do you do with Mr. Potato Head? You take him apart, right? All of his parts disconnect. You get to design him however you want to design him. What do you think, Caden? And so here we have Mr. Potato Head, and we have Mr. Potato Head. Mr. and Mrs. And here's the thing. With Potato Head, I have the power to make them whatever I want them to be. And so many times we give power to people to rearrange our identity and rearrange our purpose. And so, you know, somebody comes along and says, oh, I don't like how you do your makeup today. And so we rearrange them the way we think they should look. And then they come along and they say, man, you must have been really dumb. You failed that test. And so we start saying things negative over that. You're never going to amount to anything. And we start making proclamations to people. And how many know their identity is being formed by the words out of our mouths sometimes? And if we're not careful, we believe that. And we give people the power to manipulate and rearrange who we're supposed to be. And so we can look at them, and guys do it too. It's not just a girl thing. I don't like how your mustache looks. You're not on the sports team. You're not a jock. You don't wear designer clothes. You come from that family. Oh, I know about your family. I know who you are. I know where you come from. And all of a sudden I didn't get that scholarship, or, oh, no, I'm not a professional, or and we let people speak into our lives. How many know Scar said some things about Simba that wasn't true of him? He accused him some things. He made him feel ashamed. He made him feel guilty. And so what happens is Simba goes down and hangs out with a warthog and a meerkat. And instead of eating wildebeest and what he was supposed to do, the diet of a king or the diet of a lion, a young lion, he starts eating worms and grubs and slimy things. And it's not to his appetite, but you know what happens after a while? If you hang out doing that long enough in a culture that's not who you are, listen to me this morning. You can hang out in a culture that is not who you are and develop a taste for that if you're not careful. But when you develop a taste for that, you're going to forget who you are, and you're going to allow everybody else to rearrange who you are and forget that you were born for such a time as this and purpose. How many know he was never meant to eat grubs and worms and to hang out with warthogs and meerkats? He was born to be king. He was born to be the next lion of the pride land. And so it takes Nala, the other lion, come back, and she runs into him and she finds out that he's alive and said, we've been looking for you. You've been called to be king. You were called. The pride land is in devastation. The hyenas have taken over the pride land. How many know it's never the hyena's place to rule and reign in this earth? We were meant to rule and reign in this earth. The kingdoms of our God, of this world, shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Hallelujah. Of his people. We were born to rule and reign. But if you forget who you are, if we forget who we are, the pride land suffers and is in devastation because nobody wants to stand up and say, I'll be king. And so what happens is there's a monkey, a baboon named Rafiki, who is the prophet in this movie. And if you watch the very first beginning of this movie, that Rafiki, that baboon, anoints that little lion. Anoints him for what he's supposed to be, but he forgets the anointing he had. But it's not long till he runs back into that prophet, and that prophet says, he begins to say to him who you are. And he says, no, I don't believe it. And no, I can't go back. And he said, you know, he's looking for his father. And he takes him to the pool of reflection that they have back there. And he says, he lives in you. Your father lives in you. How many know sometimes you got to go to the mirror of the word and see your reflection in the mirror that says he lives in me. His life is in me. See, what we do when we go to the mirror, we always look for what's wrong with us instead of what's right with us. But if we begin to look for the reflection of our father in that pool, a reflection of our father in that mirror, we're going to realize he lives in me. And when we look to the stars of the heaven, all of a sudden there's the reflection of the Father and the great hosts and the kings that we're so encompassed about by a great host of witness, those who have paid the price for us. All of a sudden, the prophet bonks him on the head and says, wake up to who you are. And he starts putting some of those things back in place for him. And he starts calling him back to who he was and who he was meant to be and who he was purposed to be. Hallelujah. And he sends him back to the pride land to do what he was called and what he was purposed to do. See, we give power to people in our lives that we have no business giving power to. Amen. The next time somebody tells you you're worthless, somebody tells you you're not going to mount to nothing, somebody tells you you're no good, you're stupid, you're ugly, you say, obviously you haven't heard what my father has to say about me. Evidently you don't know who I am. Evidently you don't know I was born for greatness. Evidently you don't know I got destiny. You don't know I got purpose. You don't know I got calling. You don't know that I'm of the line of the tribe of Judah, and there's a pride land waiting on me, and there's a scar or an old lion back there who's already been defeated, who has no right to rule and reign in a place that was purpose for me. If you don't realize you got purpose and you got destiny, you'll walk around hanging out with meerkats and warthogs. And you allow hyenas to mock you and laugh at you and to live in places that should have been yours. Come on. How many know you have a choice in your life of what you want to do? You have a choice in your life to make decisions. Do I want to rule and reign? Do I want to be productive in life? Do I want to have purpose and destiny and calling? Do I want to fulfill everything that God has purposed for me? Or do I want to so adapt to the environment I'm in, hanging out with meerkats and warthogs, eating slugs and slime, and forget who I was born to be? Don't ever forget who you were born to be. Don't ever forget the calling of, you say, Pastor Lisa, I don't know that I got calling. I don't know that I got purpose. I don't know that I got destiny. I'm here to tell you, you do. That's what the word says about you. That we are kings and priests unto God, and that he has purposed us and made us in calling. Your calling may not be behind this microphone, but it might be behind those drums. It might be behind those dancing feet. It may be behind a paintbrush, or a pencil, or an artist canvas. It may be behind electronics. It may be behind a petri dish in a lab somewhere. It may be, I mean, and if somebody, we need a cure for cancer. We need some answers in this country, in this society. And I believe we need some presidents. We need some leaders. We need some government. We need some doctors. We need some scientists. Amen. And I'm just foolish enough to believe they could be in my classroom. They could be in my church. I'm sure they're going to be at my camp this week. I'm sure there's people here that's got calling and purpose and destiny on their life. And it may not be on the platform. It may not be behind a microphone. It may not be going to the nations at missions, but it may. That may be your calling. That may be what God's put in your heart. I'm going to tell you, whatever God's put in your heart, whatever creativity he's given you, whatever abilities and talents you have, use them for the glory of God. I'm telling you, there is no telling where you can go when you trust God to take your future. When you trust your future into God's hand, there is no telling where he can take you to the heights. Hallelujah. Somebody had to dare to believe that airplanes could fly. Somebody had to dare believe we really could get to the moon. Hallelujah. Somebody somewhere had to believe in themselves and believe of the power of God in them. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So don't be like Potato Head. Don't give anybody else power over who you are and power over your identity. You are who God has purposed you and made you to be. You are what he designed you to be. The scripture says in Psalms 139, I will praise him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God, that my soul knoweth right well. Hallelujah. How many know he said you are fearfully and wonderfully made? And when you look in the mirror in the morning, you just say, look at you, marvelous. Hello, marvelous. Marvelous. What are thy works, O God? His works in you are marvelous. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and your identity is in Christ, not in man's opinion. Amen? And so I refuse to give power to anybody else to control who I am. I refuse to let anybody else rearrange me every time their opinions thinks I should be doing something different. My confidence is in God this morning. My identity is in Christ. My purpose is in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I'm excited this morning about this week, about a generation realizing their destiny, their purpose, their calling. Hallelujah. I'm looking for some prophetic word to call forth some young lions this week. Amen? To call forth some young lions and said, there's a pride land that depends on you. The calling and the anointing of God is on your life. Maybe you feel like you've lost your way a little bit. Maybe you've got a little bit confused. Maybe you feel like you've been hanging out with meerkats and warthogs and have lost a little bit of who you are. But the prophetic word is always one to redirect you and tell you all you got to do is realize who you are and go back and take your rightful place. Amen? Hallelujah. So you have a rightful place this morning. And it's in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All you kids, you want to come get your picture taken with Potato Head? If you want to get your picture taken with Potato Head, you can come up. They're like dying to get up here to Potato Head. Here we go. Give him a great big hug. Everybody loves Potato Head, right? All right. Oh, somebody get a picture of that. Come on up here and get your picture. Hang out with. Here, guys, move together. Move together here, and then you can. Mrs., come on down. Oh, sorry, they were getting pictures. Here, let's get them aside here. Now you all can come hang out with Potato Head there. You like Potato Head? You like Potato Head? Now you can scooch in there anywhere. Get in there and give him a hug, Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. Here you go, baby. You can stand right here. Yeah, there you go. There you go. You might have to put it right in the middle, babe. There you go. You going to see Potato Head, Ellen? Yeah. What's the matter? What's the matter? Come here. Come here. Let's get our picture over here with Potato Head. There we go. Say hi, Mr. Potato Head. You going to sing?
There we go. Look here, Ellen.
Sing. Sing. Everybody say, He lives in you. I just can't wait to be king. Can you say Hakuna Matata? Hakuna Matata. No worries. And I just can't wait to be king. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. All right. Thank you. You like them? She wants to try that suit on. Oh, she wants to move the pieces. Okay. Did you get your picture taken? Did you come get your picture taken? Yeah, you can get your picture taken. Get in there with them. There you go. Snap some pictures there, guys. Caden. Get my kid out of this picture for you. There we go. All right. We still have our parts. Oh. Kelly can have a hug. See, everybody loves Potato Head just like they are. Just like they are. Kids don't even care. So the next time you're feeling like you're all mixed up because you don't know who you are, and you have allowed somebody else to reorganize you and to confuse you and to say negative things about you, realize who you are in Christ. Let him put things in order in your life. Let him put things in order for you. And just be true to yourself. Be true to who God called you and purposed you to be. Amen? There's no other you just like you. Yes. Just like their father. Absolutely. You were created in his image and in his likeness. And I look just like my father. Hallelujah. I look just like my father. One of the kids put on Facebook this morning, one of the kids that's come to camp. I don't know if I can find it real quick here. The scene. Where he's sitting with his dad and he says, "We're best buds, right, Dad?" And where his dad's talking with him. I don't know if I can. I'm looking for Christian Hoppers. You guys probably can get up faster than I can. He has a line out of the movie. And we say what he's doing is saying Happy Father's Day to his dad. Neil Hopper, Pastor Hopper from Georgia, from Cedar Town. We need dads. We need fathers.
That's the thing, too. Like, you know, while you talk about everybody has a destiny, but we're always thinking that if we don't have the grand and glorious, if we're not the president or we're not the guy behind the microphone or we're not the star sports player. But some of the most unsung heroes are the parents, the fathers, the mothers, the stay-at-home moms. That's quite a calling. And, you know, sometimes we think unless we're doing something grand and glorious, we're missing God's part for our lives. When sometimes it's in the simple and the mundane sometimes, because that's part of what makes us who we are.
That's the structure and the strength of the wall. You know, I told you here a couple Sundays ago that we were drug babies, our family. We were drug babies. We were drugged to church, and we were drugged to tent meetings, and we were drugged to revivals, and we were drugged to, you know, people say all the time, "Oh, I don't want to make my kids go to church. I don't want them to resent it later," and all this kind of stuff. Well, gee whiz, you make them brush their teeth, take a bath, go to school. There's some things you need to do. There's some things you need to do. And I've told you this before. You're not their friend. You're their parent. One of the best advice I can give you, you're not their friend. You're their parent. There'll come a time to be friends. My girls and I are learning to be friends now. But they also know mom will kick in any time. The mom kicks in any time when we need to. And I don't think they'd have it any other way. But I told my kids growing up, I'm not your friend. I'm your mom. There's times I got to make the tough call. You may not like me. You may not like it. You'll realize it one of these days. And you'll understand that. And so my parents were drug babies. I mean, you know, we were druggies, whatever. They drug us. We were drug babies. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for every night I fell asleep on the church pew at the tent meeting and all of those times. And the times when I thought, why are we even doing this? But something was instilled in us. A seed was planted. So, you know, as Lynn was saying, those unsung heroes. Does it matter if you're here? It matters. If you want your kids to know faithfulness, teach them faithfulness. If you want them to be blessed and be tithers, teach them tithing. If you want them to know the power of prayer, pray together. Pray with them. All of those things are important. Those impartations that you make in them, whether mom, you may be a single parent. You may have to be mom and dad. God bless you for every bit of work and impartation that you impart into somebody. And if you're not a parent in the natural or in the physical, let me tell you, there's all kinds of people who need mothering and fathering and parenting that you can sow something into your life. Amen? From good, solid, decent, just good old-fashioned love. Amen? Thank you, Potato Head, for... You have his binky. Here, Potato Head had your binky. Thank you. Thank you. Give them a hand for helping me out this morning. Remember your identity this week. Amen? And let's just believe God for an awesome, awesome time. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's have all of our kids come on up this morning and sing. And we'll have them go around and gather their coins and monies for missions. And then we're going to present the